You're listening to Reach Deep, Randeep Janda, joined by Myra Lawrence all week long. And you know what the music means. It's 3 o'clock on a Wednesday. Shane O'Brien's just around the corner. Weed 'em boys.
I get it.
You get it finally?
I get it. No, I knew what song it was, and I'm like, this has to be Shane O'Brien.
It's his entrance music. If he was a wrestler, if Shane O'Brien's roll into the ring, that's his entrance music.
Totally, and he's going to have like the silks on with the hood, right? And like, who's in his entourage, though? Who's in Shane O'Brien's entourage?
Oh, there's no question. Joffrey Lupul and Scotty Upshaw.
Yeah,
like,
that's
all
he needs.
The entourage. That, and Kevin Connolly, because it's the entourage.
Yeah.
They have to be there. Those guys are buddies, especially the first two I mentioned there. And we haven't had Obi on, and he was on last week, so we're going to talk some free agency with him. We're going to talk a lot of things and get his thoughts on the World Cup. Does he care? I'm going to give my prediction right now. I have a feeling he is not a soccer fan.
No. He's a hockey guy.
Just a hunch. I think there's probably either over under on how many minutes he watched of the World Cup. I'll probably say.
He probably looked at it.
5 minutes.
And he's like, oh.
But he's on air with us right now. Shane O'Brien, former Vancouver Canuck, joins us now. How are you, Obi?
Good, Randy. How are you, buddy? Thanks for having me, like always.
Of course. It's good to have you back after a week of not having you on the show. And we were just talking about this right now. Everybody's talking about the World Cup. Do you care? Do you care about the World Cup?
I don't care as much as everyone, obviously, else around the world does. But I have been watching it. I watched Croatia and England play today.
Nice.
I was pulling for England a little bit, but it was a good game. But, I mean, I didn't have to go over there partying. The party over there seems unbelievable. So in that aspect, I respect the party and the fans do, and the atmosphere is unbelievable.
Yeah, we're seeing some of the scenes from Croatia right now, and they've got flares and everything, and England as well. I second that. I would love to party in England.
Absolutely. And Shane, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, I've actually been to Zagreb last year. They have a team in the Austrian League, and I got to spend the night out in Zagreb, and it was fun just on a normal Saturday, so I can only imagine what's going on right now after they're going to the World Cup final. So I'm sure they're having the time.
Well, Shane, you're a guy that's known to have a good time when you were here in Vancouver. Tell us, you know, 4th of July in the States, it's a big party. What did you do for the 4th of July?
Yeah, so it's, you know, I've been down here in the States for quite a while now. And, you know, back in the day when I was still in the NHL, myself and Lupul and Upshaw would throw a pretty good bash at Lupul's beach house. And, you know, when we were younger and all single, it was definitely more girls than guys. But now that we're a little more mature and a little longer in the tooth, we went to Nantucket, which is it's a cool little island off of the coast of Boston, right by Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. It's a cool little island. Everything's right there. There's no chains. It's all family grown restaurants and bars, and they definitely know how to party in Nantucket. It was a great time. And if you're ever there and you want a lobster roll, you got to go to Crew. Best lobster roll in Nantucket. Yeah.
All right, our listeners are taking down those notes as you speak right now. Crew
and lobster roll
in Nantucket.
Lobster roll in Nantucket.
Okay, excellent. So, hey, in this part of town right now, this part of the country, everybody's talking Quinn Hughes. We talked to you a couple of weeks ago after he was drafted, and there's a lot of excitement in Vancouver. That's continued. There's discussion about whether he should be staying in the NHL, signing with the club and staying with the team, or going to Michigan. His coach on these very airwaves said that he thinks it's probably another year that Quinn Hughes needs. Where do you think the kid should start? Should he go back to university or just jump up to the big leagues?
Well, I mean, typically, you know, back in the day, you would say a young defenseman, even if he's drafted seventh overall, you know, there was probably no chance he was going to stick with the big club right away. But the way these kids come out of university and major junior hockey now, and I know playing four in the NHL is a complete different animal than playing defense, but you know, I've read up on the kid. You know, obviously I've never seen him play, but the way they talk about him, the way he can skate and the way he can move the puck and the offensive upside that he has, you know, the way the game is now with how fast it is, if you can make a good first pass and get up into play, you know, I don't care how old you are, I think you're going to make, you know, not only the Vancouver Canucks, but any team in the NHL better. So typically my old school way would be send him back to university for another year, let him go mature, have some more fun at Michigan. But the way these kids do it now, they seem to just jump right in. They're not scared of veteran guys anymore like they were back in the day, and it's just a new NHL.
The biggest knock on his game right now, it's not really a knock, it's something he has to improve on, is the defensive side of things and getting maybe physically mature. As a defenseman, you've played that position. How big of a deal is that when you're trying to make that jump up? When, you know, we see his dynamic skill offensively, but defensively, if you're not up to that game, how, I guess, shorthanded are you at the pro game?
I mean, it's the hardest thing to play defense in the NHL. And, you know, obviously I was never a seventh overall pick or anything like that, but you know, even 3 to 4 years into my NHL career, there were still situations and reads that I still haven't seen. And then you get into, you know, your sixth and seventh year in the NHL, and you've seen that read before, you've seen that play before, and it just comes as second nature. But when you're out there, you know, playing defense in the NHL and you don't know exactly what you're doing, the game moves even faster and it's even harder. And, you know, for a young kid like himself, with all the upside in the world, you wouldn't want to see him get thrown into the NHL and not be able to play defensively and look bad every night and hurt his confidence. So I'm sure that's the thing that Greener and the management is worried about, because playing defensively in the NHL as a defenseman is the hardest thing to do.
We're talking with former Vancouver Canucks Shane O'Brien here on Sportsnet 650. Shane, you mentioned a little bit about, you know, Greener and all those guys are thinking about protecting this guy a little bit. You've played in this market. I covered the development camp game. And, I mean, Quinn Hughes has media all over him. He says the right things because he grew up in a hockey family. But you know what it's like to play in this market. And if he's an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old and isn't kind of coming out of the gates flying, the scrutiny that he might be under from fans and media could be hard on his confidence. I mean, what's it like to play in a market like this when people are nutty?
Yeah, it's true. And like I said, I mean, I was lucky my 2 years in Vancouver. We had unbelievable teams, won the division both years. And, you know, if it wasn't for the Blackhawks, who knows what would happen. But on the other end of the spectrum, you know, anytime you play in a Canadian market, and, you know, sometimes I give Vancouver the benefit of the doubt. I don't think the media is quite as hard on guys in Vancouver as other places like Toronto and Montreal and places like that. And other players would probably disagree with me. But I think my only concern with him would be if he does come in and play this year, that veteran guys on his team will have his back in the media, will say all the right things for him, will pull him aside at times when things aren't going well or when things are going extremely well. And you got to be even keeled. I remember Sean O'Donnell told me, you know, my first year in the NHL, Vanheim, you're never playing as good as you think you are, and you're never playing as bad as you think you are. So if his veteran guys can help him out and he can be nice to the media and be respectful, I think he can handle Vancouver just fine.
Shane, you know, there's been some comparisons that have been made. Brian Campbell, former Chicago Blackhawk, said, yeah, he's got the skating like McDavid. He could be a rover like Scott Niedermeyer. And, of course, his former assistant coach there in Michigan, Jeff Tambellini, said he's got that Bobby Orr style of game. I know that they don't mean that he's the next coming of these players, but they are comparisons that are building expectations. You played with a guy in his rookie year that there was plenty of expectations around Steven Stamkos in Tampa as well. How did he deal with them? Because that's not the easiest thing. There's a lot of people who say, oh, he's the next version of this player or that player. What was your experience with Stamkos like in Tampa Bay on that front?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously anytime, you know, if you're a player like a young kid like that and you can be compared to Scott Niedermeyer, that's, you know, I don't know the kid, but that'd be the guy I'd probably go after because the way he played the game was unbelievable and how easy he made it look. And, you know, when I was a Stammer in Tampa and he was 18 years old, it was tough. There was such a circus going on with the new management, with Orrin Cools and Len Barry. And Barry Melrose was our head coach. And our team was in shambles. And, you know, next thing you know, it's just we're over in Prague playing two games. And we lose two games and we give up 50 shots a night. And the next thing Barry Melrose says is Steven Stamkos isn't ready for the NHL. So I think in Stammer's case that Barry and everything that went on there kind of hindered his performance. But if you go into a good situation with a good coach like Travis Green and he can develop you and make you a better player, and, you know, maybe that's better than going back to university and dominating for another year. You can, you know, take your lumps as a team in Vancouver as a young guy and get a year under your belt.
We're talking with former Vancouver Canucks Shane O'Brien here on Sportsnet 650. Shane, you mentioned veteran guys pulling Quinn Hughes aside to kind of teach him what to say, what not to say, and how to act. The Canucks obviously needed to get a little grittier in this offseason so that people aren't taking liberties on the Quinn Hughes or the Elias Petterssons. That's why they went out and got guys like Jay Beagle and Antoine Roussel. You know these guys. You played against them. What kind of guys are the Canucks getting in these two players?
Well, my personal take of Roussel is, you know, I hated playing against him. He drove me completely nuts. He ended up fighting me one night in Calgary. I ended up jumping over the bench like an idiot when I wasn't even on the ice and went over and grabbed him. Pretty much gave him no choice. But he seems to be the guy that, you know, you hate to play against, but, you know, guys that have played with him love to have him on your team. And anytime you can bring in a guy like Beagle who just won a Stanley Cup and can bring some winning atmosphere, some winning energy into your dressing room, it's always a positive thing.
You speak of Roussel there. I did check out that fight when he was with Dallas and you were with Calgary. What is it about him that people absolutely hate? Like, what does he do on the ice that really ticks you off?
Oh, he's just the definition of a rat. I mean, he wears that visor low. His chin strap is done up tighter than than an NFL quarterback chin strap. He has that kind of French accent that when he does chirp you, it just comes out the wrong way. He just drives you absolutely nuts. But in saying that, if he was on my team and I was going to war with him night in and night out, I'm sure I'd love the kid. But when you play against him, he is right up on my all-time list of guys that just drove me nuts. Him and probably Avery and Max LaPerriere, those guys were the guys that just drove me absolutely crazy.
So if you had to rank him and Alex Burrows in terms of pests and guys that really just bothered you when you played them, is Roussel a bigger annoyance than Burrows, or about the same?
Well, Roussel's ahead of Burr because I played with Burr. So I knew Burr, even when after I got traded, me and Burr had some run-ins in Colorado and in Nashville and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I could still look at Burr and remember riding on the plane with him and playing poker with him and going out for dinner with him and just being around him day in and day out. So for me, Roussel was a way bigger rat than Burrows. And Burrows is obviously a better player. So Roussel's a way bigger rat in my book.
Speaking of Alex Burrows, he recently has announced that he's stepping away from the game of hockey, going to take a coaching role in the Montreal Canadiens system to be close to his family. A lot of talk as to whether Alex Burrows should be in the Ring of Honor for the Vancouver Canucks. What's your take on that, Shane?
Well, I mean, obviously, Burr, his story is unbelievable. Never drafted, started in the East Coast League. We call the East Coast League, this initials is easy come, hard to leave. I mean, you get down in that league, it's almost impossible to get out of. And not only did Burr get out of it, he came in and was an unbelievable Canuck, scored some big goals. I remember sitting in Nashville, Game 7, Chicago-Vancouver, and I'm just hoping that Chicago can beat them so we don't have to play Vancouver in the second round. And sure enough, Campoli turns them over, and Alex Burrow scores the game winner and gets, Vancouver over the hump of the Blackhawks, and they go to the finals. So, I don't know. I don't have a yes or no answer, but I know that Burr was a great Canuck, and fans in Vancouver really love him.
And people laud him for being that great locker room guy, mm-hmm. where he's kind of keeps everybody loose, and, the leadership intangibles we often talk about. You have any stories about Burrows behind the scenes that you're able to share on air here with us that are PG?
Yeah, Burr was great. The thing I loved about Burr the most was he kept Kessler and Bieska honest in the dressing room on the plane, especially at the card table. Him and Bieska would always get back and forth. So I remember my first year coming in and dealing with Kessler and Bieska and playing against. So I was just kind of thinking, who in this dressing room is going to keep these guys kind of honest? And sure enough, it was Burr with his, sometimes people don't like French accent, but Burr had a real funny French accent. He was always chirping. I loved playing cards, and he was a good team guy. But the thing about Burr you love the most is when the puck dropped, he played his guts out every night, and that's why I love being his teammate.
So what's in store for the next couple of weeks here, Shane? What's your summer looking like? What do you
did
July 4th thing last week? What's in store?
I'm going into shutdown mode. I'm going to start skating here next week. I don't think I'm going to play next year, but you never know. I got a couple young kids here in California that I'm going to help out. Chase DeLeo just got traded to the Ducks, so I'm going to go on the ice and help him and see if we can get him to the NHL. And I'm going to play some golf. I'm going to relax, man. The fun's over for a little bit. I've been going crazy. I'm not 25 anymore. I got to slow down.
Hold on one second, though, Shane. You just said you're not playing next year. Are you announcing your retirement live here on Sportsnet 650?
No, I'm not announcing my retirement.
Just had a double check there.
I'm going to see if I can get this old body going. And
okay.
Like I said, I got a couple of young kids here in California that I want to see them make the NHL. And there's not a whole lot of guys down here skating right now, so I'm going to get out and help them the next couple of weeks, and we'll take it from there.
Sounds good, because we did make a deal many months ago when Perry was on the show. We were saying, when you do retire, mm-hmm. we got to have a presser here at the Roxy. Remember that.
I haven't been to the Roxy since tonight. I got in trouble with the Vancouver Canucks, and that's a while ago. Maybe we should do it at the Roxy. But if I do retire, Randy, it'll be on the show for sure. But
excellent.
I respect you guys and love you. So, yeah.
Thank you very much, Shane. Always awesome to chat. And, have a great weekend, and we'll chat with you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
That was Shane O'Brien, and pulling out the stories.
Self-banned from the Roxy, hey?
I think Alain Vigneault might have had a little bit to do with that ban from the Roxy of maybe enjoying himself a little too much. But what I love about Shane is that he comes unfiltered in the sense that if there's a story there, Roussel, that fight against Antoine Roussel, he's right. He jumped over the boards there, and you could tell after the fight, Antoine Roussel clocked him pretty good. It was a temple shot. And, this guy has been in those wars with those players, those gritty players. And Antoine Roussel, you might not like him as a player when you're playing against him, but imagine having that guy on your team. And I know Canucks fans are going to say 4 years way too much. He's a little younger than Beagle, but still, that stings a little bit. But he's a guy that I think every single player on that team, including a Brock Besser or a Bo Horvat, who's going to be bothered this year. Mm-hmm. There's going to be extra attention given to them by defensemen. They're going to get cross checks. They're going to get slashes. Roussel's going to go to bat for them. And that's the biggest thing for this Canucks team.
Sportsnet 650.